Our gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. Then they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I'm wondering if any of you have ever seen the TV show called Resurrection. It came out a couple of years ago. It had a little bit of a limited run, but the TV series is based on the book called The Returned. It was a popular novel written by Jason Mott. And in the novel, he wrestles with the question, what happens if the people around you who you've already mourned and buried suddenly appear on your front doorstep as if not a day has gone by? Mott told CNN reporters that his novel was inspired by a dream that he had about his dead mother, and that after he read an early version of this book in public, people came up to him afterward and said that it reminded them of someone that they had lost. I'll admit I've only watched a couple episodes of Resurrection, but the whole concept is really intriguing to me. In Resurrection, there's this 8-year-old boy, Jacob, and he drowns in a river. He's then taken up, wakes up in rural China 32 years later, and he's returned to his parents, who are now obviously much older. But Jacob looks like the same 8-year-old kid that had drowned. And as Jacob's parents grapple with the return of their son, the show plays out a scenario that many people have dreamed about across the years. The idea that the dead could come back, or maybe just stick around forever. So after Jacob is returned home to his parents, other people who have died in the past in this town of Arcadia are also seen moving around. They've returned. They've, in a sense, been resurrected. And for everyone else in the show, those people that are still among the living, years have passed. But for the people who have died, it's like they haven't aged a day. It's like somebody hit a pause button in their life and then went back and hit play once again. And you'd think that the return of these people would have been cause for great joy and celebration in the movie. And some of that is played out. But it turns out that their return actually causes more trouble. It causes, as you imagine, a great deal of confusion and a lot of grief. People have moved on with their lives. They've gotten older. Some of them maybe have remarried. People have grieved already, and they find themselves having to grieve again because life isn't the same as it was when this person left their life. The living have moved on in their lives, as we all have to do when we lose someone that we love. and although the return of the one they thought they had lost to death does bring some joy, there's just not a place for that person in their lives anymore. It doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite work to have them back among the living in the world. And I noticed, too, that when I watched episodes of the show, that they never used the word resurrected. They called the people that came back from the dead the returned. And now I don't think the show is trying to make a theological statement. I don't know if I'll give them that much credit. But I do find it interesting that even the characters in this TV show seem to know that what they're experiencing really is not resurrection. Yes, these people have returned from the dead, and it's turning these characters' lives upside down. And that's because I think we struggle much with death, but we also know that that's the way things are. It's just part of the natural order of things. Sure, we might describe some deaths as being unnatural, especially perhaps when a young person dies, or when someone suffers a great deal before they die, or when a parent outlives a sibling. But although these deaths are tragic, and although we always grieve when we lose somebody that we love, we expect to die. Death, grieving, suffering, sorrow, they're part of our lives. We expect those things. Sometimes death happens more suddenly or more unexpectedly than others, but we still expect death. We all die. We expect all of the people that we love will die. And as much as I love many of the people I have lost, and sometimes I still grieve their loss, sometimes I feel a deep sadness when I'm reminded of them, sometimes I'm even caught off guard, but I know it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't make sense for them to return to this place, this world, this lifetime. That's just the reality of death. So Easter to us is a challenge, if we really think about it. Resurrection flies in the face of what we believe about death. We also know that there's a huge difference between being returned and being resurrected. We're here today not because of a return, not because of a resuscitation, not because somebody came back to be just like they were before, not because Jesus had come back to take up business as usual as a preacher and a teacher and a healer as he did before. No, we're here to celebrate a resurrection. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. Not just reanimated, he was resurrected. He's not just alive again, or alive still after all this time, never having really been dead. Jesus has been resurrected from death. And resurrection literally means rising up. He's not just alive, but he's living, and he's new, resurrected. And now Jesus can say to us, as he did to his disciples, be not afraid. Because there's a lot to fear in our lives. Fear of what may happen to our children in this dangerous world. Fear of whether we'll have a job in the next few months. Fear about someone that we love who's struggling with an illness. Fear about future problems amid our national and global crises. and yet resurrection of Christ creates the possibility in all of those circumstances for joy, for hope, for courage, and for more. Why is that? It's because resurrection changes everything. In resurrection, we have a promise from God that love is stronger than death. Life is stronger than death. Mercy will overcome judgment, and all the sufferings and difficulties of this life that we experience will last only for a time. Yes, they're real. They're incredibly real, and they can be incredibly painful, but they do not have the last word. They do not represent our final reality. Fear and joy, despair and hope, doubt and faith. These are the two sides of the world that we live in now. But in the end, we've heard the resurrection promise that joy and hope and faith will ultimately prevail. The good news of Christ's resurrection is not that it takes away our fear, though sometimes I know we wish that it would. But it does offer us courage. It does offer us hope by anchoring us in that sure promise that God will have the last word. And that word is one of life and light and grace and mercy and love and hope and peace. In the words of the great author Frederick Buechner, God's will, not our will, is done. Love is the victor. Death is not the end. The end is life. His life and our lives through him and in him. Thanks be to God. Amen.